Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Councilman Judd Crasher, and he has recently announced that he's running for re-election for the Common Council. So, Judd, what made you decide to do it again?
Well, first of all, thank you very much, Cynthia, for having me on. But yes, I am going to run for County Council again. And the reason for it is pretty simple. When I first decided to run back in 2013, I knew that there were a lot of challenges facing the people that live in the neighborhoods that I represent, the neighborhoods themselves. Whether you're talking about urban blight, whether you're talking about poverty, the equal access to city services, equal distribution of city services, access to jobs, a whole host of matters that challenge the neighborhood. And what I have tried so hard to do is to be a fighter for the people, every single person who lives in the 11th Ward, and stand up for those local issues that matter so much to everyone's everyday lives in the 11th Ward and indeed the across the city of Albany. As you know, and as your listeners know, there have been enormous challenges in making progress, real progress for everyday people in the city of Albany because of the nature of who currently runs government right now. And it's no surprise that I will be looking hard at supporting somebody else for mayor. It's no secret that I believe Frank Commisso is going to be, if he chooses to run, he's going to be a fantastic mayor. But we also need a new common council that is willing to no longer be a rubber stamp for whomever the mayor may be and bring these real meaningful changes to government that are so desperately needed. And I'm happy to talk about any host of any number of these issues in more detail, but the bottom line is that I have a deep passion for the neighborhoods that I represent and a deep affection for those individuals who live in the 11th Ward. I don't want to keep continually being their fighter, their voice in City Hall and fight for them, not ultra-wealthy special interests that have so often the case in the city, but for them and their families.
Now, as you walk around your ward and you talk to the people in your ward, what concerns them the most as you have conversations with them?
Sure. And if I had to summarize it, I mean, we're living in a very interesting time politically, at minimum. You know, the national political scene is scary for a lot of people, and rightfully so. Our president is, in many respects, an absolute disaster. Has already proven to be an absolute disaster for the working class, for lower-income families, for minorities of all from all over. And so there are many people who are worried about the implications that a President Trump will have. But what is on their minds is more of a centered on local matters. So while they are fully aware of what's going on at the national level, so many of their day-to-day concerns fall on the responsibility of actually fixing those, fall on the city. So for them, it's, well, why aren't we getting our fair share of city services? Why is it so difficult to communicate with City Hall when there's an issue going on, whether it be a street needing to be plowed or a vacant building? Why is it so difficult on the point about vacant buildings? Why is it so difficult for the city to be able to enforce building codes that are so that is so needed in many of the neighborhoods in our city? Why do we continue to see this neglect of neighborhoods at the expense of giving out multi-million-dollar tax breaks and corporate welfare to multi-million-dollar companies disguised as economic development, and also this obsession with downtown at the expense of other neighborhoods. So what I have been speaking with folks about and continue to have these conversations about is what we can do as a city to make people's lives better, knowing full well that there are going to be challenges that the national political scene, including President Trump, will pose to our city and every city in the country. But that doesn't mean that we lose sight of local issues that are under our direct control, including, as I mentioned, drastically reforming how we deal with economic development in the city, reforming how we deal with code enforcement in the city, making it jobs accessible to folks in areas that are struggling so much with poverty and unemployment. These are all issues that Albany would still be facing, no matter who the president may be. So if I had to summarize it, there's a lot of angst and I think stress and outright fear with some folks about, with many, I would say, actually, about what the future holds. And I think that it's time for Albany to step up and lead to make sure that, at least here in the city of Albany, we're doing right, people who live here.
Mm-hmm. So that you laid out a pretty grim picture.
Mm-hmm.
Have you spoken to the potential first of all of those issues that you just mentioned, how many of your common council members feel the same way you do? Without names, just numbers.
Well, it's important to distinguish concern and words versus action. So I think that all 15 members of the Common Council would agree that it's not a good thing that we still have neighborhoods that are struggling with poverty and unemployment, that it's not a good thing that code enforcement continues to seriously lag, that it's certainly not a good thing that our financial situation citywide with our budget is a complete nightmare. But there is a disconnect between what they're saying, and I would give that to at least 8 to 9 members of the council, perhaps even 10. There's a disconnect between what they voice and what they say they're worried about and their actions. So I'll give you an example. They're worried about, they say they are worried about disparities in how the South City government treats one group or one neighborhood over another. But at the same time, during this term, they passed things such as the trash tax, which so blatantly, I mean, this is not a matter of opinion. It is not a matter of political spinning. It is objective truth that the trash tax affects primarily lower-income individuals, exclusively renters. And when you look at where the majority-minority areas are in our city, and then you overlay the rate of who's a renter, the rates of who's a renter, of who is poverty rates, there is significant and disturbing overlap. So at the same time, we have this trash tax in place from people who claim to be progressives and proclaim to be concerned about all of these inequity problems that government is responsible for, yet they're perpetuating it. So it's this bizarre separation from words and action, and talk, as we know, as they say, is very, very cheap. And that has been the case with most of the council, and certainly without a doubt, Mayor Sheehan, with a whole lot of talk and then either no action or the exact opposite of what they proclaim to be as leaders, as representatives of their community.
In my interview with Carolyn McLaughlin, we talked about the financial health of Albany, the economic health of Albany. Do you think we're almost insolvent?
Yeah, and that, you know, look, when I first entered office, and that is when the mayor first entered office as well, the current mayor, there's no doubt about it that the new cast of folks in City Hall, both in the Common Council and in the mayor's office, inherited a real financial crisis from the prior administration. But what Kathy Sheehan has done is taken a really bad problem and made it tremendously worse. We have drained almost all of our financial reserves. We have tried to balance the budget on the backs of everyday Albany residents with things and gimmicks like the trash tax. We've tried to balance the budget by obstructing the progress of making sure our working men and women who are union members have fair contracts. And then we have an advocate, a supposed advocate, in the mayor who has, for now 3 years, gone before the state legislature pleading for money and presenting no vision and no plan for how the city can actually be in a state where property taxes are decreased and that we become what the mayor uses this term over and over again, to become truly a 21st century city. Instead, and most recently, she will go before the state legislature and say outrageous things such as, I want to prove my point about how bad things are in Albany, I was considering lighting my hair on fire. I mean, that is
right.
Not leadership. That is a gimmick. That is a disservice to every single person in the city of Albany. And quite frankly, is an ineffective way to convince the state to continue to give us money. So that is, without a doubt, a huge issue, our finances. But if you have somebody at the very top of it, that is the mayor, who is responsible as laid out in our charter for putting together a budget, who I clearly does not understand municipal finance, who relies on the same kind of gimmicks, if not worse, than the prior administration, and who has no vision for the city of Albany, then, yeah, if we continue down this road with failed leadership at the top, we're going to get to the point of insolvency. And I think the election for mayor is of a particular importance this year, because it is going to chart the course for the city, not just over the next 4 years for whomever the mayor may be, may or may not be, but our financial situation and the consequences of that will last for a very, very long time.
You know, one of the things I read the other day, and I found it to be very disturbing, when the mayor had gone to the state legislature and, you know, asked for money, there was a particular state senator who was, you know, was saying, oh, you know, if I were you, mayor, I would be screaming at the top of my lungs. And that particular senator never really looked into the fiscal situation in Albany or any kind of situation in Albany, but just made that blanket statement, which proves to me that some of the, and this is now the a senator from around here, from a different part of the state, but it proves to me that there's a disconnect between the state representatives and what's going on the local level, and I found that very disturbing.
Sure. I think you can make the argument, too, a very reasonable argument that there's a disconnect between the city and the state as it relates to AIM, aid to municipality funding. I mean, it's just without question, this is another objective reality in the city of Albany that we do not receive, our fair share of state money. There's no question about that. There's no question that we shoulder millions and millions of dollars in taxes and property and get compensated for none of it. That is not in question. And I think for many folks who are in the state legislature, it's difficult to see that when you don't live here, when it's not your responsibility, quite frankly, to represent the city of Albany. So, yeah, I do think there is a disconnect, but in many, many ways. But that, again, is why it is so important to have someone in the mayor's office who has a strong handle on municipal finance, who can lay a path forward, doesn't just keep our head above water, but actually grows our tax base, that actually puts us in a situation where we're able to reduce property taxes, that we're able to eliminate onerous and, quite frankly, discriminatory policies such as the trash tax and the cabaret law. If we were to lay out a plan like that and tie it into our very challenging financial situation as it relates to a lack of state funding, then I think that we're looking at a very different Albany, a much, much better Albany. But that's not what we have right now. We have a mayor who is not presenting a good case to the state, and that's the proof is in the pudding. The mayor has not received under Mayor Sheen's leadership, we have not received our fair share in state aid. We have continued to receive spin-ups from payments from the Empire State Plaza, the very same spin-ups that Mayor Sheen railed against when it was Treasurer Sheen, and the very same spin-ups that Mayor Sheen railed against when she was running for mayor. So clearly her advocacy has failed, and clearly her leadership has failed, and clearly we need major changes in who is leading our city.
Now, let's take for a moment anybody who's in a position to run for a municipality such as ours. You know, people talk, they promise, they say this, that, and the other thing. And once they get into office, they realize that the hard facts are, you know, different from what they were perceived when they were running. So, in other words, you know, when she was running for mayor, she was saying about spin-ups and all kinds of stuff. But once she got in office, was the allure of big money, the big developers, too pretty to turn down?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, as it relates to the current administration and comparing and contrasting the mayor in her role as treasurer and in her role as mayor, it is a very good question, because if you go back and you look at comments that then Treasurer Sheehan made, it's really quite astounding, because many of the concerns that she laid out are the very same concerns that I consistently talk about, that Frank Commisso Jr. consistently talk about. But yet, you're right, once Treasurer Sheehan became Mayor Sheehan, and as you imply, as you very clearly, more than implied, you very clearly said, continued down the same road as other administrations, including, like you said, this obsession with giving out millions of dollars in tax breaks to multi-million-dollar developers in hopes that it was going to trickle down to everyday people, which is total nonsense and has proved to have failed over and over again. So I don't know what led to that change, but I think that if there is one good thing that came from, if I could just mention the national election again, because it's on everybody's minds, and I get it. There's one good thing that came out of it. It is that people, wherever they fall on the political spectrum, are tired of political BS and nonsense. They're tired of people running for office, espousing lies, espousing promises that aren't kept. And the filter is now off, right? So now people, for better or for worse, and unfortunately in many cases it is for worse, but people are willing to very clearly state how they feel about the situation of whether it be national politics, state politics, and local politics. And they're tired. Finally, I think we've hit that breaking point of people being absolutely fed up with people in political office that are out of touch with the realities of everyday people. I think that is the one good takeaway, that people are tired of out-of-touch individuals in elected office, and they just want a clean house. That, I think, is a positive step. Now, that vacuum can be filled with bad actors such as Donald Trump, there's no doubt about it. But that's an opportunity for good people to get involved in the process, people who genuinely care and understand, more importantly, understand the challenges facing their community and facing the city of Albany. And I would say,
you know, Jed, what I see, and I could be dead wrong on this, but, you know, I've been in the Capital District since the early 80s, and I followed what was going on in Albany, but I didn't move into the city proper until the middle of 2009. I moved in a couple of weeks before the end of the petition process, in which Sean Mars, I carried her petition, and it was like in the final in the final weeks. Okay, so you know, then she had a little get together, and she was continuing to ask people to, you know, get signatures, and then I got as many as I could get, you know, being new to the community, and then I pick up the paper on that Thursday, the day that the petitions were supposed to be submitted. And there she is on the front page, you know, stepping away from being a candidate. Now, all of those people that worked so hard in trying to get her name on the ballot and making her a viable candidate at the last minute just says, see you around, guys. And I felt that, I find that very disturbing. And as far as candidates and other elections and other positions, you know, there's almost 100,000 people in the city of Albany. And unfortunately, you see the same faces, you see the same names over and over again. And a very few people step up to the plate and say, I want to make a difference. How do you change that?
Well, thank you for that piece of relatively recent Albany political history that I too was a part of. So, but I do want to say, and I think it is important, while I understand your frustration, and I was one of those petition carriers for Sean Morris. And I hear you. That one you still remember. That fight you never forget that. You never forget that piece of Albany history when you were part of it. That sort of almost this epic showdown, and then it turned out not being that. But I do have to say that how different things might have been if all of that wasn't the case. And I do have to say that any sort of differences now, I still have enormous admiration and respect for Sean Morris. I think that she's a wonderful person, but, you know, that aside, I know that we're marrying ourselves here with talking about that, but with a focus on the future, yes, it is many of the same faces, sure, but we did see a change of faces, you know, a change of who is in City Hall with the Common Council. We saw a near record number of new faces in any given single term enter the council. We did see a new mayor, right, which was the first time in 20 years. But the problem is that it's, whether it's an old face or a new face or, you know, a new last name or an old last name, whatever, it's the same policies. Very little changes, right? I think that's that is the problem. And that what gets people, and rightfully so, so angry. I think that's why the city of Albany voted for Bernie Sanders as opposed to Hillary Clinton. I think that's why Albany County voted for Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton. People are just tired of the same kind of policies and the same direction, just repurposed and repackaged into a different candidate and to a different line of rhetoric. So we are, as I mentioned, we're at that breaking point where we've hit that. People are sick of it. They want to see meaningful changes. They don't want to hear empty rhetoric. They don't want to hear the same policies repackaged. They want to hear a different way forward. And I am actually very optimistic that given this renewed sense of holding our elected officials accountable, and given this sense of this hunger, I should say, a hunger for change, that we are going to see major improvements in Albany. I really do believe that, despite all the challenges that we face. I think that the people are going to stand up this primary coming up, this local primary. They're going to focus on these local issues that are so important and that have gone virtually unaddressed under Mayor Sheehan, and we're going to see some real powerful change, meaningful change, not the hype word change, powerful change in the city of Albany. And I think that so long as, and I again very hopeful that he does, that my colleague and friend Councilman Frank Commisso, he throws his hat into the ring with the kind of leadership that and smarts that he'll bring to the table at a new Common Council, I think that we're going to be all right. But the people have to stand up and send a very strong signal during this primary season and the general election that locally we are not going to deal with the same kind of behavior and the same kind of politics that we've been dealing with in the city of Albany for literally decades and decades.
Here it is. We're going into almost the end of the first week of February. I know you have declared, and there's very few other people who have declared their intention to run. So, you know, the primaries are in September. So as the hours tick away, it's that much less time for there to be a meaningful dialogue of issues that face the city, you know, the people in the city of Albany. And I believe these people in the city of Albany deserve, you know, a really good comprehensive, you know, dialogue and back and forth. And so, but that's not happening. When will it start?
Great question. And I would say, first, I would say that if there's anybody out there in the second ward, in the fourth, in the seventh ward, in the eighth ward, in the ninth ward, in the tenth ward, in the 13th, 14th wards, who want to be part of positive change in our city, to consider running for office, especially consider running
Let me step you right there, Judd. This I feel is important. The role of the party is to identify and groom candidates. It's not done. That's why you see the same faces over and over and over again. The role of, and that's one of the important reasons why you still see the same faces. And they do the same things, and the majority of people are left out. They're not tuned into the dialogue. Mm-hmm. They don't care. And then these problems keep getting worse. But for you to say, oh, you know, if there's somebody in this ward or that ward or whatever, that should have been decided a long time ago.
Your point is, it's well taken. But you also... You also raise a good point in that I think what is going to be a very refreshing thing to see this year is, especially a lot of these council races, you're going to see people who wouldn't typically be involved in politics, who might feel intimidated, might have before, or even, you know, up to even a month or two ago, felt very intimidated to get involved in the process, to put their name out there, to be put under scrutiny. I think that, so going back to your original question then, we really have 1 month left, I think, in my, you know, and that's my own sort of, you know, political sort of calculation of, say, if I was advising a candidate for any office, that you got to get your act together this month. And you got to figure out, you got to spend the next few weeks in the month of February figuring out what you want to do, if you want to run, getting your infrastructure in place, your plan in place, your platform in place, and hit the ground running. And I do mean running, and having, you know, people running with you as far as supporting your campaign in March. Then I think you're in a good place to have a positive dialogue. But the other, Cynthia, it's a great conversation. I'll tell you, for probably three or four interviews total. The Democratic Party is messed up. It is. It's broken. We saw that at the national level. No doubt about it. We saw that at the national level. But it's also broken at the state level, and damn it, it's also broken at the local level. You are absolutely right. In that regard, too, in order to change and reform the Democratic Party, which I still am a proud member of, we have to have new leaders. We have to have new people leading, obviously leading government, and taking the city in a new direction, but taking the party in a new direction as well. The presidential primary
And the primary for governor, which we all remember, the last primary for governor, should have been warning bells for the local party establishment. Zephyr shout-handedly beat Andrew Cuomo, and Bernie Sanders easily beat Hillary Clinton. Those should have been wake-up calls to the local party establishment to start listening to everyday people in the party. And they just remain, their heads remain in the sand. You're absolutely right.
Right. You know, because no offense to you, Judd. You're a committed public servant, but for you to say, oh, we need somebody in this ward, that ward, that ward, that, like I said again, that should have been decided a long time ago. And to do this willy-nilly in February is not the way to make this city vibrant. It's not.
It's not ideal politically. No, it's not. But I do think, Cynthia, that you will see, from the conversations I have had with people in different wards, that you are going to see people announcing soon. And by soon, I mean literally within the next few weeks. And they have been thinking about this for a long time. Now, that is not going to be the case throughout the city. I'll tell you right now, that is not going to be the case in every ward in the city of Albany. But I do believe from conversations I've had with folks in other areas of the city that we will see a good number of candidates for council, for mayor, for treasurer, for council president, for auditor, that have been working very hard in establishing their campaign infrastructure separate from the party, because the local party has, again, just been a total failure for the everyday people. Unfortunately, it's just completely been a backward system. So I do think that you'll see that in many areas of the city. Not all, unfortunately, but we got to start somewhere to reform the party and to reform how city government works. I know you yourself have been a fierce advocate for that, using your various outlets, most recently your public access show. So these are all really excellent steps forward. And no, we are not there yet, Cynthia. We are not at that point where the party is truly reformed and the city is on a different course. But we're the fatigue I hear it in your voice and the frustration I hear it in so many people's voices. But we're just getting done with winter, which is really hard to believe, but we're wrapping up with winter. We're going to get to March before you know it, therefore getting into springtime, getting into door knocking season. And then I think that frustration that you are expressing and that so many people are expressing, that's going to be able to be channeled through helping these candidates citywide and at a ward level, because they will be announced and they'll be ready to go and they will be in need of the help of people across the city. And that energy right now, which is now pent up as frustration, will be able to be expressed through door knocking and gathering petition signatures and canvassing and phone calling. That's why I mentioned to you that I am optimistic, because I think that the passion is there overall and the energy is there overall in the city to bring about the changes that we desperately need at the governmental level and at the party level.
Judd, this has been a great conversation, and this conversation will continue right up to November.
Absolutely.
So you've been listening to Councilman Judd Crasher, who's running for re-election in his district. In his ward, what ward
yep,
was that again?
Ward.
I'm sorry.
Yep. 11th ward.
The 11th ward. So, Jed, if anybody wants to volunteer for your campaign, send a contribution, knock on doors, make phone calls, how can they do so?
Give me a call. You can call me directly at 364-5006. I'm the one to pick up. They can give me a call anytime they want. And we'll get you going and helping out
getting a part of the good fight.
And you have a Facebook page.
Oh, sure, Facebook. Anybody's welcome to add me on there. Easy enough. And that number that I mentioned, 364-5006, if you don't feel like calling, you can text me as well, and we'll get you going, whatever you're comfortable with, and we'll get you trained, too. That's the other important thing. If you don't know the first thing about campaigning, don't worry about it. I and others have been through these campaign processes for quite some time, and we'll train you. We'll tell you what to do. We'll guide you along, and before you know it, you'll be a campaign pro yourself. So don't worry about it. If you feel like you want to help, but you don't think you have it in you, you definitely have it in you, because it's easy to get trained in the nuts and bolts of campaigning. So don't let that be a barrier either.
Thanks, Judge. Thanks for the time that you spent on Focus on Albany today. I look forward to more conversations. So you've been listening to Judd Crasher, and this is Focus on Albany. If you like this, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. And if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Thanks, Judd. Have a good day, and have a good day, everybody. Talk soon.